going to begin to discuss in the sugya of Da Maka. We already saw in the Mishnah Daf Nuches in the days a story about the Rabbi Kiva who was sitting and giving shir to the Talmidim when a woman walked in with a shayla and a kesem, and Rabbi Kiva was mako because he was able to establish that there was some forgotten about Maka that existed to which the kesem was attributable, and he was master of the woman on that basis. So that's the halacha that you could be told a kesem and damaka, which we find in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Sadi in both Sifyut Aleph and Sifyut Ches. What we'll need to address is beyond Hilchos Ksamim, what kulas exist for being told of a maka, even if there is a bidik or a re'ia, which is potentially attributable to a maka. And the sugya d'shmaisa for discussing that is based in the topic of Roa Machmas Tashmish. So as far as the general sugya of Roa Machmas Tashmish, both in Gemara and Shulchan Aruch, we're going to be skipping that. But this one detail, a significant detail in that sugya, is relevant to our discussion. Briefly, the issue of Roa Machmas Tashmish is that in certain very limited situations, if a woman sees dam on a repeated basis three times, in a way that's attributable to be a function of Tashmish, she becomes a Sura Labaila, which is a severe consequence. So in the context of that discussion, the Gemara on Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph has a few exceptions to where a woman is not going to become a Sura, even though she's Roa Machmas Tashmish. And we'll see that the Poskim understand that the exceptions there to the Isra Labaila of Roa Machmas Tashmish are also relevant to other applications of being a matter or a woman who sees dam or has dam in a bedika, even where there is potentially a maka that one could attribute that to. Now, before we go into this particular sugandha samukhav, how do we know that this applies to our case as well, not just to the limited case of Oma Achman Tashmish? So most Rishonim who address the sugandha don't say it explicitly. There may be a little bit of an indication of such in the Sefer Truma Simen Sadi Beis, which we're going to quote a little bit later on. But the Aruch HaShulchan explains why this is a davar pashut in our Simen, Simen Kuf Pei Zayin, Seif Nun Ches, and Nun Tes. He writes that whatever halachas apply for a carve-out in Roa Machmas Tashmish apply as well to a bedika which has dam, which is attributable to a maka, because the bedika is fundamentally more kal then why. The concern by Roa Machmas Tashmish, as the Gemara indicates in the beginning of Perek Roa Kesem, Daf Minches Amud Beis, is that maybe a hargasha was masked by the sensation of Tashmish. Right there, the Gemara had three instances of a potentially masked hargasha, so one of them is the case of Roa Machmas Tashmish. So there, the Aruch HaShulchan argues that the case of Roa Machmas Tashmish is where you have this experience at certain intervals, but not consecutively. It has to be at three different times, three different months. So there, if I have isolated instances, I could theoretically argue that maybe there is a masked hargasha. But when it comes to bedikas, if a woman repeatedly does bedikas, and in every bedika there's a certain red spot, which could potentially be attributable to a kesem, so you can't argue there that every time she did a bedika on a regular, repeated basis, every time there was a hargasha that was masked. So in that sense, the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that it's pashut that a bedika is going to be more kal than the case of Roa Machmas Tashmish. And also, again, before you get to Samach Vav, we do have a Gemara on Daf Tazayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara about whether Mekor Mekom Otame, whether we assume that any dam that comes from the Mekor is automatically Tame. And there the Gemara has as well a Roa Dam Machmas Maka Fila Bimei Nidusa Tahora Divrei Rebbe Shimon Gamliel. So according to Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, according to Humi Paskin, if you see Dam Maka, even Bimei Nidusa, a woman could be Tahora and the Dam Maka is not going to further be Matame. Okay. So, our Gemara in Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph has the following. If you have a Gemara in front of you, it's about 7 to 8 lines down. The Gemara says, V'im yesh lo maka ba'oso makom tala b'makasa. If a woman is ramach matashvish, but she has a maka ba'oso makom, she has a maka b'makor, so then you could be tola the blood and assume that it's attributable to the maka, and she's not going to be asura labaila. Then the Gemara says, V'im yesh la vest, tola b'vesta. And if a woman has a vest, then she can attribute the dam that she sees not to Tashmish, but to the vest. And number three, Vim Hayadama Kasa Mishuna Midam Riyasa Einatala. However, if you could tell that the presentation of the dam maka is different than dam riya, meaning that the maka that you want to attribute it to produces a certain shade of blood, and the maka of the riya is a different shade of blood, then you have no right to attribute the other looking dam to damaka because it's a different presentation of blood. So we're going to focus now on the first two phrases here. That im yesh la maka tol b'makasa v'im yesh la vest tol b'vesta. So there's a major machlokas rishonim here about how to interpret this line im yesh la vest tol b'vesta, and the reason that we're concerned about this for our purposes is how it impacts on the previous line of Dam Maka. Are these two lines, Tola Bivest and Tola Bimaka, totally independent, or is there a relation between them? So there are three major shitos in Rishonim how to interpret the Indyesh Lavest, Tola Bivest. So you take a look here at Rashi on the Daf, again, Samafav Amin Aleph, Rashi Dibra Hamaskil, the Indyesh Lavest. Rashi explains, Vest Lekilkol Hazeh. So if the woman doesn't always see dam at the time of Tashmish or in the aftermath of Tashmish, but rather she sees dam after Tashmish only at certain set times, tola b'vesta, then she has the right to attribute the dam to her vest, meaning mishameshes below bidika bein vest l'vest. She has the right to assume that if she only sees dam after Tashmish on the fifth day of the month, so any other time during the month, if she has Tashmish, she's allowed to have Tashmish, she doesn't have to do a Vedika, because she has the right to assume that she's only Rova Dam Achmas Tashmish on the fifth day of the month, and she doesn't have to be concerned in any other time. Okay, that's Rashi's Tola Bivesta, that if she only sees Machmas Tashmish at certain set times, certain set intervals, then she has the right to be mishameshes other times without a bedika, and she need not be concerned. Okay. Most Rishonim understand Imyesh Levesta Levesta differently. The Rambam, for example, Perek Dalet, Halacha Kaf of Isurei Bia, okay, the Rambam writes, that the Isser Labaila of Roa Machmas Tashmish is only if there's nothing else to attribute the Dam to. Aval im Shimsha Samuch Levesta Tola Bevest. If she has Tashmish Samuch Levesta, then she has the right to be Tola the Dam on her vest, meaning that if she has a vest on day 5 of the month, and then she sees dam samuch levesta, we have to figure out what samuch levesta means, sometime right before the zman havest, then she has the right to assume that, to attribute that dam to the regular re'iyah that she expects during her monthly re'iyah. You know, that she has the right to attribute the dam to the dam that she would expect to see bishas havest. Now, the Shach has a discussion. It's not our topic, but the Shach and Sivkat and Tezayin, and the Nosei Kalim that come after the Shach have a discussion. What exactly are we talking about, Samach Levest? Right? There's an Isser of Tashmish, Samach Levest. So we're talking about Yotzi L'Derech, or maybe there's a Heter. We're talking about Samach L'Samach, meaning right before there's an Isser. What kind of vest are we talking about? Not our topic. Most of those who address this issue assume that They were talking about where the Tashmish was the Hatter, not the Isser. So it was at a point, even though it was Amal Leves, where Tashmish would have been Mutter. But that's not our topic. You can take a look at the Shach there, the Taras HaShlamim, for their discussion. Okay, so again, so far we have Rashi who says Tola Bebes means that if she sees Damach Mas Tashmish at certain intervals, she has the right to have Tashmish other times during the month out of Bedika. According to the Rambam, and what essentially is Rovi Shon, the Ramban, Tola Bebes means that if she has a set vest for seeing Dam, and she has Tashmish around the time of the vest, she can attribute the Dam to the regular cycle that she's expecting. They still see points out, he doesn't think Rashi and the Rambam are necessarily arguing Ladina, Mar Merchad of Lopligi. These are both situations in which you'd have the right to be Tola Bevest. The third approach, which is of more significance to us, is that of the Mordechai. And there's a major machlokes among the Nosei Kelim on Shulchan Aruch, among the early Achronim, as to how to understand the Mordechai. The Mordechai, as we've pointed out in the past, Hilchos Nida Laharif is printed in Masechet Shavuos. The Mordechai in Hilchos Nida is there as well. So the Mordechai is in Shavuos Tavshin Lamed Hey. Part of the controversy is how to understand the Mordechai may be based on Gersos, so it's not even terribly fruitful for our purposes to read the Mordechai inside, but we'll just read one line, and then we'll explain how the Mefarshim understand. So the Mordechai there writes, Bishas Vesta, Afilu Yodas Bivadai Shehadam Yotze Min HaMaka. So during the time of the vest, even if she knows for a fact that there is a Maka which is producing Dam, Eina Tolavo, she has no right to be told on this Maka. If you allow a woman who has a vest to be told on the vest, so then to be told on a Maka, then she will never be Tahora. Every time she has a regular period, she's going to say, oh, I have a Maka, and the Dam is attributable to the Maka. Okay, so the major issue, we'll frame it as follows. In this Mordechai, did the Mordechai understand the line about Tola Bevesta and the line of Dam HaKasa to be related or to be two independent lines, as we've assumed until now? So according to the Shach here in Sifkat and Kaf, which is also the approach of the Beis Yosef, Beis Yosef basically just quotes the Mordechai, the Shach elaborates as follows. The Shach assumes that according to the Mordechai, there's no connection between Tliya Bevest and Tliya B'maka. And the Mordechai means to say, a tremendous kula, that if a woman has a vest kavua, then any time other than these man havest, meaning shelo b'shas vesta, she has the right to be tola on a Maka, even if we don't know for a fact that there is a Maka. We have the right to assume that, scratch that. The Shach assumes that the Mordechai means as follows. The line of vest and the line of Maka are not connected. So anytime a woman has a vest kavua, and then she sees Dam, shelo b'shas vest, she has the right to assume that she is Tahora, even if she has no knowledge of the existence of a Maka. The fact that she's seeing Dam, Shelo B'Shas HaVest, is an abnormality. And we have the right to assume that that Dam comes from some other source than the endometrial lining, than Dam Min HaMakor. So anytime a woman has a Vest Kavua, she has the right to assume that Dam seeing Shelo B'Shas HaVest is min hatsadim, is machmas miyuch tashmish. That it's dam that comes from some other internal source other than the makor, which is the bleeding is caused by tashmish itself. And then, according to the Mordechai, the line of Tola b'makasa is a separate din. that if a woman does not have a vest kavua, then she has the right to be tola in a makkah if she's aware that there is a makkah. Okay, so again, according to the Shach interpretation of the Mordechai, it comes out a big kula, that if a woman has a vest kavua, then she has the right to be makel on roa machmas tashmish, to assume that the dam comes from some other source, even absent any knowledge of the existence of a makkah. It's only where you have a do not have a vest kavua, then you would need existence knowledge of the existence of a makkah in order to be told the makkah. So Shach acknowledges, writes that this is a, quotes others that say that this is a big kula, quotes the Maharam Padua Simon Bav that this is a kula gedola. And that's essentially what I think the Darkei Moshe seems to be asking. Darkei Moshe in Os Gimel quotes the Mordechai, and he says, according to the Mordechai, comes out that for all intents and purposes, if a woman has a vest kavua, then there's never going to be a prohibition of roa dam machmas tashmish. Anytime she has a vest kavua, then she always has the right to assume that the dam comes from a permissible source. And essentially, there's never a situation of roa machmas tashmish. And the Darkei Moshe says that's difficult because the Gemara is so same. There's a din of roa machmas tashmish, and the Gemara never indicates that that din is anyway restricted to a situation where there's no vest kavua. Okay. So again, the Shach interpretation of the Mordechai is that if a woman has a vest kavua, then she has the right to attribute dam machmas tashmish to a permissible source, even absent any knowledge of the existence of a makkah. And it's only if you don't have a vest kavua that you would need knowledge of the existence of a makkah. Then the Shach thinks that even according to the Mordechai, even according to this big kula of the Mordechai only intended to be matir the question of heter labayla. Because when it comes to roa machmas tashmish, there are potentially two issues that need to be addressed. Issue number one is the fact that roa machmas tashmish, once she's mutzekes eska, becomes a sur labayla. And number two, then she'd have the regular din of nida and having to count shiv and akiyim. So Shach thinks that even this kula of the Mordechai, as he understands it, is only relevant as far as the iser labayla. We want to be makel for this woman, not to create this horrible situation of asring her labayla, but as far as the requirement of shiv nekiyim, that would still be in place. Rav Avadi Matar Sabayis on page Reish Lamed quotes a Sefer Eshkol that I think pretty much says what the Shach says. Not within the Mordechai, the Eshkol says this dichotomy that you could be makel for the heter labayla, even though you'd be machmir for the requirement of shiv nekiyim, and treating her as a nida in that regard. Okay. The second approach to the Mordechai is that of the Bach. The Bach, in a slightly more abridged version, appears in the Bach on the Tor, and there's a more expansive analysis of the Bach in Tshuvas. Tshuvas cite the standard, the old Tshuvas HaBach, Simen Hei Hei. Precisely because of what the Shach is bothered by, the tremendous kula of the how he understands the Mordechai, the Bach thinks that the Mordechai is not as radical. How could it be? How could it be that you could be told the Makkah even without the existence or the knowledge of the existence of a Makkah? So the Bach thinks that, according to the Mordechai, the line of Tola Bevesta and Tola Bemakasa are related. And according to the Mordechai, you only have the right to be Tola Bevesta where you have knowledge of the existence of a Makkah. You don't necessarily need to know, as we'll discuss in a little while, that the Makkah has been Motzi Dam. It doesn't have to be a Makkah Yedush and Motzi Dam, but you have to know that there is a Makkah. So you have the right to be tola the vesta, meaning if a woman has a vest kavua and she sees da machmas tashmish shelo v'shasa vest, then she has the right to be makel so long as she knows that there is a makkah. Because otherwise, how could you possibly be tola the vesta without the knowledge of the existence of a makkah? Maybe the dam. Maybe she has a regular riyah, even though it's not during the anticipated time. Okay, so that's the Bach's understanding of the Mordechai. The Bach is bothered by a steer in the Mordechai. When he presents this steer in the Mordechai, we're in one line. The Mordechai seems to say that you need knowledge that there actually is dam coming out of the Makkah. Another place the Mordechai writes, you just need to know that there is a Makkah. So he thinks that's the distinction between where you have a Ves Kavua and where you do not have a Ves Kavua. Where you have a Ves Kavua, you don't require knowledge that the dam is actually coming out of the Makkah. And where you don't have a Ves Kavua, then you do need that knowledge. So again, just to recap what we've seen so far, the Gemara has in Yesh Vest, Tola Bevesta, three sheetahs from Rishonim to understand that. According to Rashi, if a woman has a regular, it's only Roman Machmas Tashvish at a certain interval, so any other time she has the right to have Tashvish without a Bedika. According to the Rambam, Rov Rishonim, if a woman has a Vest Kavua, then she has the right to be Tola any other time. She has the right to assume any other time that it's not problematic dam. Sorry, flip that. According to the Rambam, it's told the Vesta means that if she has a Veskavua and she's Mishamish Samach Levest, then she has a right to attribute the dam to the regular Re'iyah that she's expecting to see at that time. And then within the Mordechai, Machlokes, we'll call it the Shach and the Bach, whether Tliya B'maka and Tliya B'Vesta are related or not, according to the Bach, they are. And a woman can only be, if a woman has a Ves Kavua, she can only be Tola B'Makasa if she knows that there is indeed a Maka. According to the Shach, the Mordechai would say that even without knowledge of a Maka, you can be Tola Shelo B'Shas Vesta if you have a Ves Kavua. Okay, the Chasam Sofer thinks in Tshuva Simen Kuf Mem Beis that the Bach's interpretation of the Mordechai is not original, and other Rishonim actually say that as well. He thinks that there's a Maran like that. He thinks that the Ravid holds like that. And then the Chasam Sofer makes a point, which is, as we'll see going forward, perhaps critical lahalacha, which is that both the Shach and the Bach within the Mordechai distinguish between a Ves Kavua and a Ves Sheino Kavua. So let's work now, for argument's sake, with the Bach's understanding. That if a woman has a Ves Kavua, if she expects to see dam at an established interval, and then she is Roa Machmas Hashmish at a point that is not the period of the Ves, and she expects to see dam on day 20 of the month, and she's Rav Machmas Tashrish on day 15, and she has a Makkah, so according to the Bach B'Das HaMordechai, she can attribute that Da Machmas Tashrish to the Makkah. Okay. Now, so the Chasam Sofer argues that this halacha doesn't necessarily require a absolute Ves Kavua. Absolute Ves Kavua means that a woman has a Re'iyah on Kaf Nisan, Kaf Iyar, Kaf Sivan, and then she establishes a Ves HaChodesh Kavua, for example, as one kind of a Ves. Okay, so she has a Re'iyah, regular intervals in a way that establishes a Chazakah, so then that's called a Ves Kavua. Right? Most women nowadays do not have a Ves Kavua. That's very rare to encounter. So if you take the Mordechai at face value, then the relevance of having a Ves Kavua here would be minimal, because how many women have a Ves Kavua? The Mordechai, the Chasam Sofer says, it's lav dafka a formal Ves Kavua. If a woman is used to seeing dam within a certain range, she'll see dam sometime between the 5th and the 8th day of the month. Or she'll see dam, let's talk about a Ves Haplaga, she'll see dam sometime between every 23-day interval and every 26-day interval. So before the 23-day interval, she essentially has this halacha, meaning we're not concerned about the formal Ves Kavua. We're talking about, practically speaking, do you have the right to attribute this dam to some other source? So if a woman does not generally see dam during this period of the month, even though she doesn't have a Ves Kavua, So then you have the right to attribute it to Makkah if you know the existence of a Makkah. Or the Piskei Tshuva, as far as I recall, doesn't quote this Chasam Sofer, but he quotes something similar in Sifkata and Kaf Vav from the Chavis Das, that if a woman doesn't have a vest kavua, but she has a kind of vest, a negative vest. Negative vest means that she'll never see dam before the 14th day of the month, or she'll never see dam less than a 23-day interval. So before that day of the month, or before that interval, then as far as this halacha is concerned, that is the same status as the vest kavua. It's not a time that she expects to see dam. If it's not a time that she expects to see dam, and she knows that she has a makkah, then she has a right to be tola this dam achmas tashmish on that makkah. Okay, so according to this Chasam Sofer, according to the Chavis Das, suddenly this distinction between Ves Kavu and Ves Sheina Kavu and the Kula of the Mordechai, if you will, becomes potentially more relevant la halacha. Yeah, so. He's saying, the Chasam Sofer is saying within the Bach's understanding because he likes the Bach and he's going that way. The Chavis Das, I think, is saying it independently. It should be true. However you understand the distinction between Ves Kavua and Ves Sheina Kavua, the Svara should hold. Meaning there's no... This argument of the Chasam Sofer and the Chavis Das is theoretically as relevant to the Shas understanding of the Mordechai as the Bach's understanding of the Mordechai. Okay. Fine. So now that we've established how to understand Tliya Bevest and potentially Tliya Bemaka, the other issue that emerges here in Rishonim, which will be relevant Lalacha as we get forward, is what is necessary. So where we are able to be Tola Bemaka, what kind of Maka is necessary? So there are theoretically at least three options, right? You could require possibly four options. Assuming that you need the knowledge that there is a makkah. So, do you need the knowledge that there is a makkah and the makkah is capable of being motzi dam? Do you need to know that the makkah actually has been motzi dam? Or do you need to know that the makkah is being motzi dam? Right, those are three distinct possibilities. Either you need to know that this makkah is a makkah that's capable of causing bleeding, or that this makkah has in the past caused bleeding, or that this makkah is currently causing bleeding, / that we know the bleeding that we see is attributable to, is coming from this makkah. The Rashba has the following. The Rashba is both in Chidushim and Daf Samuch Vavim and Aleph in our Sugya, as well as in Taras Abayis on page Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph in the standard pagination of the Taras Abayis, in Taras Abayis Arach. So the Rashba writes, I'm reading you from the Chidushim, but the language is pretty parallel in the Taras Abayis. Ne'emenes isha lomer maka yeshla shemimena hadam shoses v'yarid. A woman has ne'emenes to say that she has a makkah, and the makkah is causing blood to come out. Mistaver the haki perusha, ne'emenes isha lomar makkah yeshla. A woman has the believability to say that she has a makkah. The koshi ne'emenes v'makkah, any time that she has this believability that there is a makkah, min hastam he tola shemimena hadam shoses v'yarid. And she has the right to assume that the dam is coming from this makkah. Sharei he ain't the key of below bedika im a dam in a makkah o min a makor. She can't tell for sure where the dam is coming from without a bedika, and we're not requiring that. So presumably she has the right. We have the right to attribute the makkah, the dam, to the makkah that we know about, even if we haven't established definitively that the makkah is producing dam. The Gemara says, if she has a makkah, you could be tola b'makasa alma min hastam tola. The Gemara gives no qualification. It says if she has a maka, she can be tola b'makasa. It doesn't say if she has a maka hayadua shemotzi adam. Doesn't say if she has a maka that we know is currently causing bleeding. It says if she has a maka. If she has a maka, sounds like as long as we know that she has a maka, you don't need any further knowledge about the type of maka. So it sounds like, according to the Rashba, you could be tola b'maka even if you have no definitive knowledge that the dam is min hamaka, or even that the maka is currently bleeding. The Radvaz.
So if you have a maka, does she have a maka at any point in the past?
No, you would need to know that the maka is now. Right. There is a maka, but you don't necessarily need to know that the maka is bleeding or maybe even has bled. So there's a Shuvas HaRadvaz in Chelek Aleph Siman Taf Mem Daled. The Radvaz assumes this much Bidas HaRashba. The question that the Radvaz was responding to is a woman who has a maka ba'osa makom, but doesn't know whether the maka is motzi adat. So initially the Radvaz is Muskal Rishon. His initial reaction is that until you know for sure that this maka produces dam, then we're talking about a suffix iser chamor, you have no right to be makom. But then he says, if you look a little bit further, he doesn't think that's correct. The number one, a woman has a cheskas tara. So she has a cheskas tara of minan a cheskasa. Now it's questionable what the parameters of cheskas tara are here. You know, he's talking about the case of a woman mid-cycle who is otherwise tahora. The Dagal Mirvava here on the side of Shulchan Aruch raises the question of could we view a woman in Zayin Nikiyim as being Becheska Sarah? Let's say she already had 3 days of Bedikos. Let's say she had 3 Bedikos. Is there some what's the Muchzakos, the status of a woman who is in Zayin Nikiyim as far as Cheska Sarah and how that would impact on Damaka? So that's not our discussion in this precise moment, but the Dagal Mirvava on the side of Shulchan Aruch raises that question. Piskei Teshuva quotes that as well. So the Radvaz says, number one, she has a cheskas tara. Number two, shelo b'shas vesta. So the default is you don't have to assume that dam b'shas vesta is problematic dam unless you have nothing else to be told on it. If you can be told in a maka, even if you don't have the definitive knowledge that the maka is mesiyah dam, so since it's shelo b'shas vesta, you can be told on that. Many things, that's definitely pshat in the Rashba, and that's how the Rashba is presented in the Mefarshei Torah v'Shulchan Aruch. There's a Gos Maimini here in Isui B of Perek Yud Aleph Oth Beis, quotes from the Sefer HaTruma, Sefer Truma Siman Sadi Beis, that you do require a Maka Hayadua Shemotzia Dam. That you do require a maka that you know is or has been motzi dam. Lashon of the Sefer HaTruma. Dafka yadas yosa dam in a maka. V'toloba, you have to know that the dam is coming out of the maka and then you can be tola in it. Aval im safik la ein a tola. If it's a safik, you can't be tola on the maka. And b'shas vesta, even if you know that it's motzi dam, you can't be tola on the maka. Okay, that is the Sefer Truma Simen Tzadi Beis. Now there are shinuya girsos here in the Gos Maimoni. According to the version we have in the Gos Maimoni printed in our Rambam, it says dafka kishiyodas sheyotze hadam min hamaka tola. Again, dafka kishiyodas sheyotze hadam min hamaka. You need to know that this dam that you see now is coming out of the maka. And that sounds like you need not only knowledge that the maka is capable of being motzi dam, but you need knowledge that the dam in front of you actually came from this maka. In the first Kushta, It says davka kishir das sheyotze dam min hamaka. You need to know that blood comes out of this maki, not necessarily this blood. The Mordechai also has davka kishir das sheyotze hadam min hamaka. That you need to know is that this specific blood came from the maka. What does it say, Shulchan Aruch? So the Mechaber is so same, Sipei. Im yesh maka ba'oso makom tolin b'da makasa. If there is a maka, you can be told of the maka. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't have any qualification. So?
Is that
like
Rashba?
That is pasha like the Rashba, according to most Mefarshim Shulchan Aruch. Yes, that's precisely my point. I'm sorry? So the Mechaber says, if there's a maka, so you can be told of the maka. So that sounds like the Aruch HaShulchan says what Yisrael said. Aruch HaShulchan, I think, in Sifkat HaMemvav, that the Mechaber sounds like Rashba. There's no qualification that even if you have no knowledge about anything other than the fact that there is a maka, you can still be told the maka. Rav Avadya thinks that according to the Mechaber, maybe even if you have a, if you don't have a Ves Kavua, right? There's no qualification at all. It doesn't say anything about Ves Kavua or not Kavua. It doesn't say anything about Yadua Shemotzi Adam. So even if you have a Ves Sheino Kavua, you could be told Bimaka. The Ramah is more complex. Before we get to the Ramah, the Shach thinks in Sifkat and Kaftalot over here that most Rishonim assume not like the Rashba, not like the way we just presented the Rashba. He thinks most Rishonim assume that you do need a knowledge, you do need the idea that the Maka is Motziya Dam. And then he says that even though the Beis Yosef seems to present this as a Machlokas, the Rashba and the Mordechai, that according to the Rashba, you don't need any idea, and according to the Mordechai, you do need a idea, even though I don't think the Beit Yosef is as explicit on that point. But the Shafi said even the Rashba doesn't have that extreme of position. Even the Rashba would hold that you need a idea that the Maka is Motzi Adam. You need to know that this Maka is at least capable of the Motzi Dam. What you don't need to know is that the Dam now is necessarily from that Maki. Woman doesn't have to feel or have a sensation that's able to connect the Dam that she sees to the Maka. But we need to know that there is a Maka Hayadua Shemotzi Dam. Rav Avadya quotes the Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi, who says like the Shach. Chacham Tzvi in Simen Menvav, quote in Taras Abayi's page, Reish Lamed Beis, Reish Lamed Gimel, Chacham Tzvi thinks that a raya to the Shach, that no one could possibly hold that you don't at least need knowledge of the existence of a Maka Shemasi Adam, is from the Mishnah that we started with. The Mishnah on Daf and Ches, the story of Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim, where Rabbi Akiva said, in questioning the woman, Rabbi Akiva said, Shema Maka Haisabach, maybe had a Maka. Amalo, hey, she said, yeah, the Chaisa. But it healed. Amalo, Shema Yecholi Galeo, Lesidam. Maybe it could reconstitute itself and be Mosidam. Amalo, hey. So don't you see over there that even in Hilchos Ksamim, you need knowledge that the Maka is capable of being Motzi Adam. If all you need to know is that there's a Maka, then Rabbi Akiva should just ask what's her Maka and end the conversation there. The fact that he asks is it Yachol Hiskaleya, sounds like you need knowledge that it's Motzi Adam. How would you counter that, Raya? Good. So Aaron is v'chavin to Rav Yonatan Ivershitz, who writes in the Placey, Sifkat and Hay, quoted by Rav Adi as well, that no, there we're talking about with the Maka already healed. If the Maka already healed, so there's nothing to talk about unless you know that the Maka can reconstitute itself. But if you have a makkah lefaneinu, so maybe you don't necessarily need to know that it's yadua shemotzi dam. A variety of things that it's difficult to fit this into the Rashba. There's no indication, the Rashba has pretty unequivocal language, there's no indication of this distinction that the Shach suggests, Bidas HaRashba. What's the psak of the Ramah? So the Ramah first writes, the kol zeh v'isha sheyesh la ves kavua. If a woman has a vest kavua, and we already noted the chasam sofer, the chadasas qualification of that, if a woman has a vest kavua, so then she could be tola shalovishas vesta on the maka. Alpha pisha eina yadas bevade shivakasa betzida. So if she has a vest kavua, so then you don't need knowledge that makasa betzida. But if it's vest she'ena kavua, im yadua shava min hamakar alpha pi sheyesh la maka b'makar ina tola b'maka im ein la vest kavua lmk yadas b'vada shemakasa motzia. If it's no vest kavua, then you need to have a yidia that it is a maka hamotzia da. Okay, so we'll stop here for today. And then we'll continue with this.